Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Thanks, guys. Great, you can take your seats. Well, I didn't realize that, like, Josephine looks so young. She's so young, I thought she's got to be single. Then I realized she's married. And then she's got like a toddler as well. I don't know. It's just because I'm getting older that everyone's starting to look younger. I don't know whether that's the case, but wow, people are having children a lot younger nowadays, aren't they? And even though Dave looks a lot older than Josephine, you know, it just, anyway, how are we today? And has the snow's on the Pennines. And so I put my car in sports mode and enjoyed myself. Snowing in Sheffield right now, severe weather warnings, the nation's in panic. What are we going to do? You know, there's going to be half an inch of snow. What are we going to do? And I heard in New York and in Boston, there's like 3 foot of snow. Anyway. Makes us feel quite nice, doesn't it? A bit of snow, just when it falls, not when it becomes slush, but just when it falls, we feel quite nice and quite cozy. And anyway, relationships, Relationship Sunday, so I'm going to be talking about relationships. I'm going to talk about, and I'll relate it to everybody, is there just one girl or one guy in the world for you is the title of my message. A woman had a dream. She's married with a husband in Liverpool, and she dreamed. She said to her husband, "I dreamt that you gave me a pearl necklace for Valentine's Day." You know, just a wild dream. And she said, "What do you think it means?" And women, always full of subtle suggestions that men really appreciate, never get annoyed by. And he said, "You'll know tonight." And he came home from work, right, and had a small package that was wrapped up nicely, you know. And so he picked the time, gave it to his wife, and she was thrilled. She's thinking, he is just such a great husband. She opened it up and that, and she found in it, to her disappointment, a book entitled How to Interpret Dreams. Typical man, never quite gets it right. Always in a little bit of trouble. I got in trouble earlier this week because my wife's birthday, and do you know her birthday's the third event out of 3 big events. The first one is our anniversary, which is always in December. I put in most effort into that. You know, before this, but it's been a desert, you know, of celebrating my wife, right? So I put a lot of effort into the anniversary. You know, she usually gets something really big, you know, and then there's Christmas pretty soon, like 2 weeks after anniversary, there's Christmas. And so I'm thinking, I need to do something really good for her for Christmas, you know? So I do, and she's blessed and that. But by the time her birthday comes, I'm exhausted, and so I got in trouble for not wrapping the present and not actually giving her a card. But I did well at the anniversary. She forgot all about that when she went a little sulky for a few hours, you know. Overall, I've done well. Sure, I missed the last hurdle. I like to call it a hurdle, you know. But overall, I'm okay overall. You know, and then find hard with cards, don't they? They get a card, think, what am I going to write? What am I going to write? You know, so you tell her that she's beautiful and everything like that. And it just doesn't kind of sit with men as easily as it sits with women. And so I just went into denial and didn't write anything. So hello to those I've never met before. Hi. And I'm going to, I want to ask the question. I've got a lot to get through, right? And it's a bit of teaching, right? But I think you're going to enjoy it, right? You're going to have an average IQ of higher than 100. So otherwise, just record it. Record it. Just for some people here, okay? Just record it. Get it afterwards, okay? It'll be online. I want to ask the question, if you're single, is there just one person in the world for you? If you've had a long-term relationship, is that it? Is that one person in the world for you? Are well and truly gone with somebody else forever? If you're married, is this it? Is this that one person in the world? And if it is, they've changed a bit since you married them. And Rihanna, the pop princess, right? She also wants to know. She wants to feel like she's the only girl in the world. Get it? Like there's no other person that he'll ever love. Like the only one who knows her heart. Now, a year ago or so, she had a hit called You Da One. And I wanted to now read the lyrics, right? You Da One, I dream about all day. Okay. So, shut up. He's had his go, hasn't he? He's had his go. He enjoyed it so much, thinking, I just don't want to stop there. Watch out for Dave. You Da One, I dream about all day. So, I think Rihanna needs to get a proper job. You Da One, I think about always. So that sounds to me a bit OCD. You Da One, so I make sure I behave. Rihanna's a smart girl. My love is your love, and your love is... When you're struggling writing a song, it's good to insert something from Whitney Houston or just you know what I mean? When you're having a lapse of what shall I write now, just nick a line from somebody else's song. Baby, I love you. I need you here with me all the time. Well, that sounds like high maintenance. I would watch out if Rihanna's about right. Baby, we're meant to be. Or she says, baby, we meant to be. So she's struggling with a bit of grammar there. Is it true that someone is Da One? Is there someone who's meant to be? Now, Tiny Temper says that. I'm just trying to be contemporary, just trying to relate. You know, it's young people here. Gosh, I mean, old fogey, who is this guy? Totally unrelatable. I'm giving it a go, aren't I? You know, used to have a really big temper. Now he's got a very... Hey, down with the crew, as they say. He says it's written in the stars, a million miles away. That's what Tiny Temper says. But I want to say, are star signs really true? Now, Tiny has got it wrong, right? Because he reckons it's written in the stars a million miles away. The closest star, Tiny, is 24 trillion miles away. And my question is, right, to Russell Grant and the crew, my question is, right, does a star 24 trillion miles away really care about your work efficiency and your romance in the office this week? I got a feeling that it doesn't care that much. It's too much else to get involved in than get involved in your love life. Yeah, for the world, right? Horoscopes, since it was meant to be, is just a small way of putting some kind of order into the chaos of life. Now, if you know anything about life, right, and especially for non-believers, life's totally and absolutely unpredictable. And so people are always looking for some kind of sense of control and some kind of order in the chaos. And so they've adopted something that almost is a form of destiny, that it's written somewhere that there's some controlling force, even a cosmic force, and it just makes humanity feel a little bit better. Now, for the Christian, life is totally different. So follow me in this. It's an advert for being a Christian. This is for people who believe that God is creator and Jesus is savior. Now, it all sounds pretty similar to everything that I've read, but it's different. Now, when Jen and I got married, we actually wrote a song, not on the day, a couple of days beforehand, and we sang it to each other in the wedding service, right? And this is my bit. Okay, Dave, thank you, Lord, for this, my wife. Planned before the very start of time. She radiates such beauty. I see the love of Jesus. She fills me with a touch of holiness. Now, things have changed, right? But we're affirming that Jen and I are planned before the beginning of time. Now, Jen's favorite verse out of two verses out of the entire Bible. The Bible's got trillions of verses in it. It's this from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, right? The word of the Lord came to me saying, this is from God to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, before you were even born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, Jen loves that, you know, because she had a tragic birth. She's got a tragic history. And so it gives her a sense that she's not an accident. It gives her a sense that she was created by God before she was knit together in her mother's womb. There's a great sense in the heart of every believer of significance, and a great sense in the heart of a believer that significant happenings, like who you end up with and what you end up doing, are predestined. Now, this is what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now, listen to me, right? If the sense of things being prearranged before time, before anything was created, is the only onion skin operating in your life, surrounding our lives, then we've got a problem. If predestination and just that sense of outer security, inner security is the only thing, that sense it was meant to be, is the only thing that governs your life, then we've got a problem. Now follow me in this. I'm going to take you on a journey, and if you're just looking for little Christian sound bites, watch God Channel. If you're looking for intelligent thinking and a proper praises of what the Word of God says, then you're in the right place at the right time. Now, Jeremiah's got a problem, because if he wanted to be a professional golfer, he's out of the question. If he wanted to be a pro wrestler, out of the question. If he wanted to be a member of Aerosmith, so I'll just put that in just to appeal to people like Gary. See, I've done the young people, haven't I? They're all thinking, wow, this guy's hip, this guy really. And now I'm swung into people who are in their middle age, okay? Their middle age. Now, a bit later on, I'm going to mention Cliff Richard for all the Christian women here that are over 65, just to incorporate you. So, now in predestination, it appears like Jeremiah had no choice. Judas, it appears, had no choice. This is what it says in John chapter 6, verse 64. It's a predestination verse. Jesus knew from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He knew from the beginning about Judas' kiss, about his deception. Well, it sounds to me that Judas, poor little thing, was hexed. It sounds to me that when he was born, he was, you know, like the brother of Damien, if you get my gist. Just the devil incarnate. No choice in the matter. Jesus knew who it was going to be. Judas appeared on the scene. Predestined. This guy has no choice. Pharaoh's got a problem. Because in Exodus chapter 9, verse number 12, it says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. So if predestination is your only onion skin surrounding your life, or a sense of it was meant to be is the only skin around about your life, it appears that you're just a puppet. A thunderbird. Just, I don't know who that relates to. I'm just moving in the spirit now. I'm just now I've got your attention. Two guys. What? He mentioned thunderbirds. Which one? Is it Stacy? Is that right? Okay. Sorry, I just lost it. And it looks like there's just a God who's pulling the strings of predestination over our life. And if you're in the world, and what I mean is that you're an unbeliever, then it seems like cosmic forces are just pulling the strings of your life. And that's a problem. I'll tell you why it's a problem. Because it creates passivity, it creates a resignation, and creates a c'est la vie people who end up blaming everything on God, and then they say, at the same time, it was meant to be. They're torn between frustration and resignation. Now I'm speaking to you. To start with the onion skin of predestination is a bad theology and creates bad living. Usually you end up in a relationship that you put up with and not run with. It produces the regret, and it reduces passivity. It reduces the regret of marrying Kevin while watching the adventures of Devlin, whom you could have married, who is now in Australia. Now, that's not a word of knowledge. I'm just making it up. If it is a word of knowledge, I am really soaring, aren't I? Yeah. Now, let me say this, right? All that I've said, even though it's in the scriptures, the holy scriptures, the unbreakable scriptures, it's at variance with other scriptures. For example, John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So it seems to me at the core of the Christian life is your ability to make choices. Because it says, whosoever believes. It doesn't say it's just predestined, those going to heaven, those going to hell. It says, whosoever believes. Whosoever, this is equality. Whosoever believes in him, that's choice, won't perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, he desires that none should perish, but all come to repentance. So it seems like his desire rests upon our choices. And that choice that you have today, that ability to choose, is at the very core of what love is about. You cannot, husbands, love your wife and control them. Love gives people freedom. Love and control do not live together unless you're bringing up children. But when it comes to loving someone, you've got to give them a degree of freedom. And you've got to accept the choices that they make. Especially when they make choices that you do not agree with. That's when love comes to the forefront. And because the Bible says that God is love, 1 John 4:8, then follow me in this. Judas must have had a choice. Because God is love. Love gives choices. Pharaoh must have had a choice. And Jeremiah, appointed to be a prophet, must have had a choice. So the very core of the onion of life is your free will. It's your choice. Now, follow me in this, right? If your life's like an onion and the very core of it is free will, then the outside onion skin is predestination. But the two seem utterly opposed to one another. And so there must be some other rings of influence within our lives. The Bible must speak of some other onion skins that are between the core of free choice and the outer onion skin of predestination. Let me call the first one the skin of destiny. So the very core is your will, and the first onion skin, the first ring of onion, is what I call destiny, the skin of destiny. This is what Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 12 says. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So this first onion ring is the ring of destiny, and it's all God's plans and all God's purposes that He has in store for your life. It's everything that God wants you to be, that God's called you to be. In this onion skin is forgiveness, is transformation, is freedom from all fear, is being blessed by God. Within that onion skin is the goodness of God. It's everything you are called to do, to run the race and to change your world. But it's directly related to your free will. Because the scriptures combine together. I've got plans for you. Then you'll call upon me, come and pray, and I will listen to you. And so the only access, this onion skin has a doorway, and it's the doorway of faith. By faith, by your active believing, by you positioning yourself out from unbelief and putting on faith and believing God, you access the goodness of the skin of destiny. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 7, 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given. So He wants you to be a master asker. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everybody who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Jesus Christ is not talking about predestination there. He's talking about destiny. He's talking about His plans that He has for you. They can only be accessed by faith. You can't create your future, but you can miss it. You can't create destiny. It's like a Mercedes in the garage, but it can remain in the garage forever, never driven in. You can't say, come on, let's create a great future for ourselves. No, no, no. God's already created your future. We access it by faith. That's why it's not by good works. Good works position us in the right place, but we still access and receive God's goodness. We don't create God's goodness. We receive God's goodness. Can't create it, you can miss it. You cannot believe for it, not ask for it, and not get ready for it. Most Christians only ever receive around 40%, I've made that up, of God's will for their lives. Why? Because they never believed for the rest. They got cut off by a sense of whatever will be, will be. They got cut off by a sense it was meant to be. This average, mediocre life that I've got was meant to be. They resigned themselves to the grandstand instead of on the playing field of destiny. They moved themselves too quickly to the grandstand of predestiny. There's pallet loads in heaven right now that were destined for 2010. They just went unclaimed. There's stuff from the year 2000. There's containers that have names on it, but they went unclaimed. Heaven is filled with lost property, not lost by God, but lost by humankind, by people who never rose up in faith, but decided to sink low in resignation. Now, gotta rush, right? If the core of your being is choice, is free will, and the first skin is the skin of destiny, accessed by faith, and the outer skin is the skin of predestination, there's got to be something in between destiny and predestination in order to join the whole thing together. I call it the skin of sovereignty. You might be more familiar with the word providence, but it's God's higher destiny. It's God's destiny that He moves us into from time to time. It's called God's sovereignty. It's your higher destiny, and it works by two mechanisms. Number one, it converts bad things into good things. It converts stuff that went wrong into stuff that turns out right. It's the first mechanism, a conversion machine, where God takes everything bad and converts it into everything good to those who trust in God. Now, I love that. I love that. That's not a cash converter. That's a grace converter. There's a machine in heaven that takes everything bad in your life and converts it to everything potentially good in your life. Well, I couldn't live without that conversion machine in my life. And secondly, it gazumps stuff that's good into stuff that's better. So it's a converter, and providence or sovereignty is a gazumper. So it was good for Joseph to have not gone to jail. It would have been good for Joseph to have not ever become a slave. But because it worked out that Joseph became a slave, and then Joseph became a servant in a prison under the palace of Pharaoh and became second highest in the land, and through that delivered a nation, God gazumped what was good, don't go near Egypt, to what was better, him going to Egypt and then being exalted to become a deliverer of an entire nation. God's gazumping machine is happening right now in your life to those who trust Him. God's conversion machine of everything bad into everything good is happening right now to those who trust Him. It's the onion skin of providence, the onion skin of sovereignty. It's found in Romans 8:28 that God works all things for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Now, if you access destiny by faith, the only way to access sovereignty is by surrender. And so we oscillate between faith and surrender, then faith. Now, surrender is faith in operation, but it's the word trust. When the word faith is used in the Bible, it's associated with a particular future. When trust is written in the Bible, it's the same word. It's associated with the personhood of God. I trust in God. I don't know what the future holds. And when that happens, the conversion machine comes into operation. It's already prepared itself for you, and the gazumping machine starts to gazump. I couldn't live without this onion skin of sovereignty in my life. Your will, destiny, accessed by faith. Sovereignty, accessed by surrender. Predestination is the final skin. Now that's the one that annoys me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4-6 says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world, In him he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Well, it sounds to me like some people are predestined for hell and some people predestined for heaven. It sounds to me like some people are predestined to choose him and others are predestined not to choose him. Now, everybody listening, back in the room now, what if God, instead of starting at the beginning of time, pushing us like pawns on a gigantic chessboard, what if he went to the end of time and took into account all three influences in our lives, our choices, his destiny, and his sovereignty, and then mixed it with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then mixed it with a restriction of satanic activity. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, Satan cannot do whatever he wants to do on planet Earth. He carries a ball and a chain wherever he goes. God doesn't activate his movements, God only restricts his movements. So the idea that Satan's running at large is a lie. Jesus Christ defeated Satan upon the cross. He reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the distant lands be glad. He reigns. So what if God takes our choices? He goes to the end of time, takes all of our choices, because love respects choice. A part of the will of God is to allow you to have your will. And then he takes into account his plans and purposes of destiny. Then he takes into account his gazumping and his conversions. And then he mixes it with the consistent presence of the Holy Spirit that's in the Tibetan hills. It's in the outback of Australia. It's everywhere. That not one human is more than an arm's length away from God at any time, at any moment in their entire lives. And then mixes it with a restraint, a ball and chain on the devil, in order to make it slightly lopsided, in order to give you every fighting chance to perform his will. Then he signs it, says, that's my ultimate will. Then he goes back to the beginning of time, and he says, I'll predestine. See, our problem, your problem, is you're starting with predestine. Thinking, oh, it's meant to be. Who said it's meant to be? Where do you get that from? It could be from neglect. It could be because it's outside of the will of God. It could be because you missed it. It could be because you didn't pray about it. It could be because God's converted what's good into what's better. It could be a whole range of reasons and nothing to do with predestination. I like that idea because it kind of means that overarching everything is the lordship of Jesus Christ. That he's anointed everything in my life. That he's almost got the page and he signed it off. Thinking, that's what I adhere to. A mix of your choice, his destiny, his providence, mixing it all together with the influence of the Spirit of God, the restrictions on Satan. I'm happy with that. And I'm signing this off. So, God chooses those that choose him. Otherwise, we're in trouble. It means, what's the point of praying? And that's why Christians don't pray. Because I think this is all predestined. God chooses those that choose him. But he makes very favorable circumstances for us to choose him. Okay. Let's get back to the start. Is she the only girl in the world? Is there only one person chosen for you? Okay. I've invented a story, right? Just say you're a single girl. And God's plan by destiny for you to marry a guy called Raj from Kathmandu. OK? Okay, it's story time. See, I'm getting near the end. I've got to lighten it now. Everyone's back in the room, aren't they? Now, you don't know him, but you've been praying for a life partner. Now, let's know about Raj. Raj grew up in a Christian family, and his dad was a Sherpa. Okay? And he gave his life to Christ at 12 years of age. At 17, he decided to date a girlfriend from school called Avani. Avani was a Hindu princess. She was beautiful. Short, but beautiful. At 19, he felt called by God to do contemporary dance at Lipa. Yet he loved Avani so much, he had a choice, and he made his choice. Come, gather, gather, gather. He chose Avani. Hang on a sec. Phil, come back in the room. Back in the room, Phil. Okay. Now, you were meant to bump into him at Starbucks at Liverpool Station last week. You were meant to turn around and spill your extra hot semi-skilled latte over his North Face Sherpa jacket. Instead, your drink just fell onto the floor. So that's destiny. And our friend chose not to walk in destiny. In the meantime, you decided to say to God, God, whatever will be, will be. And you prayed the prayer of Jesus, not my will be done, but your will be done. God flicks the switch, you move from destiny to sovereignty. All of a sudden, three people from Lipa come down to Hope City, Liverpool, give their hearts to Jesus Christ. It's a good day for them and a good day for us. And your dad, you haven't seen for 12 years, says, you're doing so well at Lipa, I'm going to pay all of your fees and even for the remaining 2 years. Something's happening that seems outside of your control, and it's within the realm of providence. Now, a year and a half later, Raj decides to end his relationship with Avani, the Hindu princess. So he broke it off. He applies to contemporary dance institutions in England, but he gets into Pineapple Studios. Now called Pineapple College of Performing Arts. You bump into him on Easter Sunday night, 2013, for our pre-launch service of Hope City, London, in the Strand. And you lived happily ever after. Destiny switched to sovereignty. Together, they are God's will. Now, it's more flexible than you think. There's four ways I can go from Liverpool back to Sheffield this afternoon. Now, one of those ways is through Birmingham. No, I'd never choose to go through Birmingham, but it is a way home. Just say that Raj didn't break off with Avani, and all roads back to his Sheffield or your Sheffield were blocked off. Sovereignty now switches destiny from plan A to plan B. Plan B now becomes God's plan A. Follow me. Going to require some intelligence. God recalibrates his destiny. He then takes a combination of choice, this new destiny, his providence, the power of the Holy Spirit, the restrictions of the devil, comes back to the start of time, and he calls it now predestination. Okay, here's the answer to the question. Very sticky up here. It's my new shoes. Is there one girl in the world? Here's the answer. As for predestination, there's only one girl in the world for you. There's just one. Because God's tracked back from the end of time to the beginning of time, which means there's just one. As for destiny, there's currently just one girl in the world for you. Currently. Because destiny isn't his plan M, because all the other plans backfired. No. It's his plan A. It's his perfect plan. His good, pleasing, and perfect will it describes in the Bible. As for sovereignty, there's been 5 girls in the world. Destiny's been changed 4 times, but it currently holds the perfect pattern. God's will is like an onion, the outer skin, predestination, determined at the end of time, the inner skin, destiny, determined through time, the middle skin of providence, determined outside of time. Okay, I've said that, all pretty brilliant. You're going to go home thinking, what did he say? At least I'll look brainy, which was my intention, coming over to Liverpool. Right now, either destiny is up for grabs or sovereignty is up for surrender. Now, I've said all of that to bring it to this concluding 2 minutes to say some here are stuck by a feeling that you've missed it. You've blown it. If you put your faith in God, number one, the conversion mechanism comes in, that everything bad in your life has the potential to become fertilizer for everything in the future. You can get in the grandstand, so you can come critical, you can think, stuff God, you can do all that kind of thing, you can backslide, you can sleep around, but you're going to miss out. And the fact is that right now you haven't missed out. Right now, God's got a plan A for you. He's got a perfect plan for you. And so it's either, right now, either by faith you enter into destiny, or by surrender you enter into providence. That's the choice that God has for you right now. Either work it, baby, or give it all to God. It seems that the Christian life has nothing to do with the grandstand, but everything to do with the oscillation between working it, praying for it, and then surrendering all to Him, to God. And then God gives it back, then God takes it. He gives it back and He takes it. The Christian life is an oscillation between destiny and sovereignty. And then back to destiny, then back to sovereignty, all of the time. Predestination mixes it with the power of the Holy Spirit to make the playing field uneven. All of the time, predestination puts a clamp on the devil's activity. But as far as our life is concerned, in a life of faith, we oscillate between going for it and then surrendering all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you need to get off the shelf. Some of you need to get back into faith. Some of you need to come back to God. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Somebody signed this life off. There is a creator. There is one that reigns on planet Earth. Whatever votes happen in Parliament over the weekend, whatever votes have happened recently, it makes no difference. Jesus Christ reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Let the distant lands shout for joy, because God reigns over all of the earth. He reigns in your life. If by faith you click back in, you come under the sunshine of the Lord Jesus Christ. It might be winter, but God converts wintry conditions into rainfall. that preps you for the greatest summer that you've ever had. Not one person in this room has blown it. Not one person in this room has missed it. Not one person in this room is on the shelf. Not one person in this room is discarded by God. God has a destiny A for every person in this room right now. God's willing it. God's enabling it. God's wanting it to happen. All it requires is for you to reactivate yourself back into faith. So I believe in God. And then back into surrender. You are Lord. I bow my knee to you. One of the real reasons why God slipped sovereignty in there is because we've got a propensity to make ourselves Lord. Some of you come today thinking, well, I don't know what that guy's saying. No, that's because you're still Lord. Sitting there, Lord of the Manor, a legend in a lounge room. You need to access destiny. Not live a life of fake providence, but live a life of destiny. One of the greatest things that God has for you right now is forgiveness. Is forgiveness. It's part of your destiny. You access it by faith, saying, God, I receive it. Why don't you close your eyes right now, bow your heads right now, and the musos can come up as well and get ready for a last song. But within this room, firstly, there's people who have never given their life to Jesus. You've never really received forgiveness. You've received sympathy, but you've never received absolute cancellation of everything in which you've blown it. And if you could take a good look at your life right now, there's no one who's good. There's no one. Even Mother Teresa had the humility to recognize that he is God, that she is not. And if she can do it, you can do it. To come off your pedestal and change things around a little bit and come back into active duty of your responsibility as a human being to trust in God. If that's you right now, and if you're a backslider wanting to come back to God, you have skidooted up to the grandstand, you're out having a hamburger out the back, you're not on the field, then this is your chance to come back on the field. I'm going to pray a prayer, a sentence at a time. I'd love you to say it with me. Everybody can help us out. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God and I am not. I believe that God reigns over all of the earth. And I believe that you are my Savior. And I ask you by faith to save me. Come and grant me forgiveness. The forgiveness you gave on the cross, come and grant it to me. I receive it now. Father, I want to be your child. I want to be adopted. I want to be chosen. So today I choose you. Over everything else, I choose you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. With every eye closed within this place, it's a simple prayer, but it's a new realignment. It puts your will at the center. It doesn't put the government or David Cameron, it puts your will at the center. And through that, you're tapping into destiny. If you are actively engaged right now in tapping into destiny and you've prayed that prayer and it has meant a lot to you today, it's a short prayer, but you actually were sincere in praying it. When I count to three, I want you to lift up your right hand with all eyes closed, and then I'll get you to put it down again. I'm not going to embarrass you at all, but this is to signify that today in Liverpool, something fantastic happened as people entered into destiny. If you prayed that prayer, on the count of three, lift up your right hand, leave it up till all the hands are up. 3, 2, 1. Okay, put up your right hand and leave it up. Yes, leave it. Yes, leave it up till all. Yes, till all the hands are up. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? I'm looking around the whole of the room right now. In the back, on my right hand side, there's a beautiful lady. It's fantastic. Left hand side, there's a fantastic, a great guy. In the middle, there's another great guy. In the very middle section, there's a fantastic girl who's put her hand up. Is there anybody else that I've missed out on? Father God, I pray for these four incredible people today. Thank you for the courage within their hearts. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you enabled them to touch heaven today. And I pray it to be the beginning of an extraordinary journey with God. I pray it would be an incredible adventure with God. And I pray a sense of confidence and a sense of the hand of God would swamp them from now on in Jesus' name. Put your hands down and everybody said. Now I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for you. There's people here who felt out of control. There's people here that have felt like you've blown it, like you've missed it. But today God's given you hope. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand, leave it up so I can pray for you. 3, 2, 1, lift up your right hand, leave it up right now. People who think, I'm coming off the grandstand, back onto the field. Dave, that means something to me. I thought I'd blown it. I thought that I'd missed it. I thought I'd missed my chance and opportunity. Father, I pray for all of these hands that are outstretched right now. And I pray that hope come into the hopelessness. Let faith enter into their faithlessness. And Father, let an expectation overwhelm them. Bring them back onto the playing field of destiny. Bring them back into the race that you've got for their lives. And Father, let all regret be abandoned. Let all regret and all jealousy just melt away in Jesus' name and lead them into the best years of their life in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, come on, let's stand up. Give God a clap offering as we sing there.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.